A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are all about commerce. You know, commerce, it's buying, it's selling, it's business, but it's community. We're proudly presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. It's interesting, though, when you talk about the word community. Everyone has a little different definition. It's so multifaceted. It can be defined in many different ways, the context, the characteristics, the relationships we all have. We're going to dive deeper into community in this Upswing 2.0 show here on Saturdays on WTMJ. The characteristics of community, I just want to give you four quick points. It's odd. I think about this stuff. I think about what makes community community. It's about one, membership, right? That sense of belonging and identification to a group. It's about influence. Members feel like they matter and they're part of a group and they can influence the dynamics. Shared emotional connection, bonds. Like, we all want to be a part of something bigger. And then it's about that reinforcement. The community fulfills our needs and goals, and having that collective why, like, that makes cities and communities move. They're never static, and they're always evolving. It's what we do, where we go, where we shop. They can be big, they can be small. For so many of us, though, it's all about how we live our lives. And we do community really well here in Wisconsin. One of the best ways we do community is at the Wisconsin State Fair. So I'm excited to have Tess Kirkson from Wisconsin State Fair Park join us right up in the next segment. State Fair takes place July 31st through August 10th. Right around the corner, summer's going to be here before we know it. Martin Moore is going to join us. We're going to talk tech. We're going to price check a few items. We're going to lean into leadership and community and business and give you a bunch of news you need to know right now. But as we do each and every morning, especially on this beautiful day, we're going to go two up.
Now it's time for the
two, count them, two.
Two up on the upswing.
Two up, two things in the business world that I'm seeing that you need to know about now. Bike share is expanding. This news just broke this week. Bubbler Bikes, which is Milwaukee's nonprofit bike share system, announced a huge expansion. Now, this is in partnership with the city of Milwaukee and a federal transportation alternatives program grant. This grant and a city match, totaling $4.15 million. It's the largest investment in Bubbler Bikes infrastructure to date. The investment of federal and local funds is going to increase access to affordable, reliable, and sustainable transportation throughout the entire city. This is a huge, huge development for Bubbler. It will allow the system to expand not only across the area, but maybe in your neighborhood. One thing you can easily do, the city's Engage MKE site is open. It's engage.milwaukee.gov/bubbler2-0. That's engage.milwaukee.gov/bubbler, B-U-B-L-R, 2, the number 2, a dash, and 0. You fill out the survey. Participants are going to get a discount code for an annual membership, and you can provide your opinions on how you want to see Bubbler expand. Additional dollars mean the system is going to continue to grow, which is good news for all of us. Second up, more good news for all of us. More coffee and more community in Madison. This week, Colectivo Coffee Roasters announced the news that it's opening its fourth Madison Cafe this fall. The new cafe is going to be located at 826 Williamson Street. It's going to feature seating for 60 guests inside and an additional 25 outside on the patio. So this is going to bring Colectivo up to four cafes in Madison, 12 in the greater Milwaukee area and 6 in Chicagoland. And I know they're looking around Chicagoland for more cafes, too. So now, Colectivo, this Milwaukee-based company that started with a single cafe on Milwaukee's east side in 1993, is up to 22 cafes. So there's a ton of growth. I looked on their website this morning. They have job openings for 17 positions. So with cafe growth comes job openings and job growth, which is a good thing all around. Coming up next, Tess Kirkson, the Director of Public Relations at the Wisconsin State Fair.
The Upswing will be right back on WTMJ. Back to business. Here's more of the Upswing on WTMJ.
Welcome back to the Upswing. We are proudly presented by the good people at Horicon Bank. I'm here with Tess Kirkson, the Director of Public Relations at Wisconsin State Fair Park. Tess, thanks for your time. I really appreciate you coming into the studio on this beautiful Wisconsin day.
Yes, I mean, I love it. I love the format here. It's a fun show.
All right, so I was looking at attendance from last year. Wisconsin State Fair set a new attendance record, 1,136,805.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big number, up 9% from the year before.
Yes.
I'm guessing this isn't an off season for you. I mean, you have some, before you came to State Fair, correct me if I'm wrong,
yes,
you were
yes.
at Six Flags.
Correct, yes.
So you've never had any off season in the event world, right?
I mean, a little bit. I think when I first started to come into this event, you know, in the event world and the tourism world, you did a little bit. And then you come and you are constantly being pushed for more incremental business and more people. And that starts to slowly dissolve, especially if you're, you know, a big thinker or you're at an innovative place. You're constantly going to be pushing those boundaries. So when I was at Six Flags, we started Holiday in the Park, and that dissolved our off season. And then here at State Fair, too, now we've added racing, and you add the event season in with the year-round event venue. And, yeah, you don't have an off season, but that's okay. It keeps it fun.
That's right. That's how innovation happens,
right.
And that's how creativity is spurred, for
exactly,
sure.
Exactly.
So I wanted to talk a bit about recruitment strategies in the, quote, off season. You have 1,400 part-time positions to fill.
Yes.
I mean, that's got to be a full-time job in and of itself.
Absolutely. Our HR team seems to be working around the clock to fill not only those, but our growing team of our full-time staff that works year-round, too. We have event services, we have facilities, we have plumbers, like things you wouldn't necessarily think of. We have a full-time mechanic, all the marketing staff that goes into marketing all of these events and communicating them, and our website and our graphics team. It goes on and on. And even our competitive exhibits, our flowers, horticulture, everything. We're kind of this micro town, and we've really done it on the backs of very few people for a very long time. And being a state agency, that's something we really respect and have to do. But yeah, we're starting to grow the team a little bit more. We're bringing in so much more with IndyCar racing and year-round events and our Harvest Fair and, of course, the fair, too. So we're able to hire up a little bit more now.
So if somebody plugs in as a seasonal employee for this coming season, are there opportunities for advancement? Like, say, hey, wow, I want to work on the marketing side.
Yes, definitely. We've seen a lot of people take that path. Our chief organizational development officer, she started as an intern. Our former CMO started as an intern. But you also see a lot of opportunities from like the facility side, coming into different roles that come to be year-round roles, and so many more. In our agriculture department, a lot of those seasonal people will feed into more full-time roles once those roles become available, and especially with our public safety officers. So our public safety officers, if they are really great, they can get some sponsorship to actually become a police officer through the Wisconsin State Fair Park Police. People don't really realize it, but yeah, we have a full police force through Wisconsin State Fair Park. I mean, that's incredible in itself, to keep all of our events safe, including the State Fair. So that's a great feeder program, too.
Yeah, I mean, you're running a city within a city, and you need everything that comes with it, right?
Yes,
you need that infrastructure. All right, let's go back to the attendance numbers and continuing to grow the community that you've built. I think group sales got to be a big part of that strategy. How do you look at that? And if I'm looking from a community lens, from a company lens, how can I tap into group sales today?
So there's so many different ways. I think when people are looking for an affordable and a value-packed option to give their members, maybe of a bank, to give their employees, their teams, people they work with, even clients, the group sales at State Fair, that program is perfect. Mm-hmm. They're discounted tickets. You can do different add-ons to create these packages. And it all really comes back to what your brand mission is. If it is something Wisconsin-based, give you UW Credit Union, Bank 5-9, things of those nature, State Fair is kind of that perfect match. But also, if you're just looking for those amazing summer events throughout Milwaukee and you want to gift that to your team, whoever, the outings at State Fair are really perfect because we can cater to all different types of people differently than some of the other events can. Yeah. You know, if you have there's just something so specific about what State Fair has to offer that can stretch along so many different generations.
Other different pricing tiers and
now,
options.
We like just to give keep us it, the baseline. Yeah, we like to keep it really transparent. So right now they're $13 tickets.
Okay.
And we have discounted tickets too off of our Skyglider and off of some of our other attractions too. But we like to just keep it really transparent. We do this exact same strategy with fair pricing. Mm-hmm. It's a $14 ticket now for a general fairgoer, and it's just going to go up as we get closer to the fair. So whenever you choose to buy, holidays are cheapest, and then we're just going to keep going up a dollar, people. Until we get to fair. And if you don't want to buy until the fair time because you want to make sure that you're going, fine by us. That really is a fine strategy. But we just want to be fully transparent with, hey, guys, the price is going to continue to go up. So just get them now if you want to. If not, you're going to pay a little bit more. And that's okay, too.
Very good. We are talking with Tess Kirkson, the Director of Public Relations at Wisconsin State Fair. When we come back, Tess, I think some of the 2025 concert lineup is already out there.
It
you
is.
Had two big shows announced this week.
Yes, we did.
We're going to go through it all. And I looked at the Expo Center lineup for this weekend.
There's
like 40 events happening. Okay, maybe not 40, but there's a lot.
Yeah.
This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ.
Back with more of The Upswing after this. The Upswing is back on WTMJ.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined by Tess Kirkson from the Wisconsin State Fair. So, Tess, I know you had two big main stage concert announcements this week. Tell us what those were, and then let's talk about some of the other shows that are on deck for this year.
Yeah, so this week we announced Midland with South Hall on the Bank 5-9 main stage. We have a great partnership with our friends at Bank 5-9, including Jeff McCarthy, who's been a guest on the show in the past. And then we also announced Neo, who is a great R&B superstar. And really what that speaks to is just, I mean, if we can announce a country act like Midland and then follow up the next day with Neo,
it
really just speaks to the diversity of that lineup and how we really want everyone to kind of find their show when they come to the State Fair, you know, and come to the Bank 5-9 main stage specifically. And that's just a really fun way to do it.
Yeah. And the cool thing, I'm looking at the pricing for the Midland show. I mean, it starts at like $35.
Yes. And it speaks back to the transparency piece of it all, as we really try to be as not even affordable. I mean, affordable is a part of it, but it's value packed. It really is. We understand that everyone's got their, you know, pennies are pinched right now. It's a tough time for some people. And we just really want to make sure that we have a broad range of pricing so people can get what they want and really kind of cater their experience and making sure that those fair tickets stay at a good price that they can get a full day of fun at that one admission cost.
Can I put you on the spot to give us some of the other acts, too? I have
absolutely,
them in front of me.
Absolutely.
You don't have any notes,
okay, yeah.
But I'm like, all right, let's go.
Yes. So we have Darius Rucker, who's coming. We just announced, too, that the opener to that
He's
show
great.
Is going to be
Uncle
Cracker.
I've seen Darius Rucker like three or four times.
I've seen
He's
Darius Rucker,
amazing.
Too. He is amazing, and he'll play his Hootie and the Blowfish stuff, too. Don't worry if you're a big fan from that era, too. It's a good show. We have Boys to Men, and Bobby V is going to open for them. We have Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias, which is a really great comedian. Now I'm trying to think, because I start to test my brain of the ones I know, but I haven't announced yet, so I don't want to let any of those go. And then we have just a bunch of other acts. Not only that, we also have the Bank 5-9 Amphitheater, too.
Yes.
So there's just so many things coming on.
All right. That was something to look forward to. A lot of new acts coming, for sure. And, you know, so you didn't mention Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, my God, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Lynyrd
I know,
Skynyrd,
I like,
August 9th. How can't you mention Lynyrd
Skynyrd?
Skynyrd,
yes.
Come on.
Of course, a big, big one. Happy Together Tour, that's a fan favorite. Just some of the stations around here, too.
All right, so some of the other things that are new for this State Fair, I'm sure you have a lot of things to announce, and you'll continue to as we get closer. But tell us what's new for 2025.
We do. Okay, so maybe more fun for the construction buffs or, you know, people, you know. But we are redoing our bathrooms. One of the bathrooms, the ones by the grandstands. And if you've been to the fair park, you know those were in much need of getting redone. So that's going to be great. And for efficiency, and if you're into logistics, that's a whole other thing, because it's actually incredible how much goes into all of the design of those bathrooms. But then also we're doing a whole North Point project. So if you know the area between Spin City and the grandstands on our north side of our grounds, that's completely getting renovated. It's going to have an updated like lighting package and shade, which is much needed for our fairgoers. So that's very exciting. A lot of infrastructure things. I would be remiss to not say that our original Cream Puff Pavilion is being completely renovated, and it's going to be a gorgeous building. That's going to be another revenue stream for us, too, because we can rent it out for weddings. We can rent it out for upscale business events, galas, all of these charity events, like so many things to continue to use Wisconsin State Fair Park kind of as a community space.
Yeah. I mean, the walkability, obviously, first and foremost at State Fair, everything's connected. And it's really become truly this like mini city that you can get from A to B really easily and have so much discovery in between. And that's what great cities and great events do. So kudos and look forward for sure. So this weekend, the Expo Center is packed with events. I see at least four major ones on tap. Can you tell us a bit about those?
Yes, we have our Just Between Friends event. That's a big event for like kind of a clothing thrift experience. A lot of it's kids' clothes, a really big event. We have so many other events, though, coming throughout the expo, throughout the entire season. So we kick off the season actually in January with our wedding expo, and we go into so many different events. We do our home and garden shows. Those are always at State Fair Park. We also have the bike expo this weekend. That one is a really fun one. It's massive, way bigger than you'd think. And they do a ton of advertising out in the space for it because they really want people to come to this event specifically. They have their stores as well. But this is a really fun one. The sports show, I mean, it goes on and on until we get to like crunch time come. This is really the wrapping up our event season for us. And then we'll pivot and turn to State Fair. And then we pivot to IndyCar immediately after that for the Snap on Milwaukee Mile 250 and then into Harvest Fair.
Always something happened at State Fair and the Expo Center. So finally, Tess, I like to ask everyone, and this is just, when you work in community space every day, you're always looking to, hey, how do I innovate? How do I make things better? But how do you define success?
How do I define success? I mean, it's been different for me throughout my whole career. I think initially, really my definition of success was, can I get a Starbucks every day? Can I go pay for a coffee every day? And that's happened. To much of my husband's chagrin, he does not like that I go out and buy coffee every day. There's coffee at home. But no, I think now it is, in previously working at Six Flags, it's bringing brands to the forefront that go far beyond just being a brand that you choose to buy from. It goes into being a brand that you connect with, that you trust with, that becomes this part of the community, that has a face. So much more. The Wisconsin State Fair brand has become so much more than just the place where the carnival is.
Tess Kirkson from Wisconsin State Fair, this year's fair, July 31st. Through August 10th. I appreciate your time.
Yeah,
we'll see you at the fair.
Yes, thank you.
We'll be right back. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing, and we are proudly presented by Horicon Bank.
The Upswing will be right back on WTMJ.
Is that coffee?
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's The Upswing's Coffee Index.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're going to do an Upswing Coffee Index, a little bit of a price check. You might need a second cup of coffee this morning. I got that 16-ounce, Starbucks calls it a grande. It's a medium, right? Pike Place. Here in Milwaukee, it's still less than $3. $2.95. But you add that 8.4% tax in the city of Milwaukee, so that's another quarter. Took me to $3.20 this morning. But it really made me think, like, tariffs and coffee, that there's going to be impact. So you got to keep your eye on prices. Brazil, Vietnam, Colombia, Indonesia. These are the nations that supply the bulk of raw coffee that's roasted and served at whatever cafe, not only Starbucks. And the U.S. just can't produce enough coffee. We don't. It's only Hawaii and Puerto Rico. So we have to import our coffee. Tariffs and impacts, even though we're on this like 90-day pause, right? But you're looking at 46% tariffs and additional costs on our coffee and some of those origins. Like, I don't know. Is our cup going to go up? I'm thinking maybe, but I'm also going to kind of believe in what the still newish CEO at Starbucks is saying, that they're making a bunch of cost control changes internally to keep prices down. And so far, they're doing a pretty good job. The company has maintained its prices. It's shifted some of its costs and is providing fewer discounts. So that's saving them some money. And also doing away with some of that all-day pricing and a little bit more of dynamic pricing in some of the cafes. So there's more distribution of the menu items and the costs throughout day parts. So far, at least in my world, I'm not seeing my daily cup of coffee go up a whole lot at Starbucks. A couple other items from coffee to beer. Pabst Brewing Company. You know, Pabst started right here in beautiful Milwaukee in 1844. They moved out of Milwaukee in 1996, now based in San Antonio. The brand is rolling out Pabst Light. It's a product featuring the iconic blue ribbon, but really more in tune with where I think beer is going. Lighter, a little less alcohol, less carbs, 4.2% alcohol by volume. Pabst Light only has 96 calories. Available wherever you get your beer. I price checked it a little bit for you. $9.49 is about the average that I'm seeing for a 12-pack of the new Pabst Light. Monday was National Beer Day, so get out and pick up your 12-pack of Pabst Light. Also in the beer world, Hop Yard Ale Works is coming to Menominee Falls. It's an Appleton-based brewery. They're going to take over the space that Wisconsin on Tap closed a few years ago, right on Main Street there in Menominee Falls. They're going to also serve pizza. So it's good to see Menominee Falls, like a lot of communities, are really kind of starting to re-engineer around community spaces that are based upon beer. That's what we're all about in Milwaukee. Watch for Hop Yard Ale Works to open in Menominee Falls later this spring. They're also going to serve pizza. I looked at the menu a little bit. They have some really funky flavors. They have a Cool Ranch pizza. They have a PB&J pizza. And they have a watermelon pizza. I've never had watermelon on my pizza, but you're going to be able to get it in Menominee Falls. Most recently, Third Space Brewing Company opened its Innovation Brew House, also Menominee Falls, right there on the corner of Good Hope Road and Appleton Avenue. We'll be right back. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing, and we are proudly presented by Horicon Bank.
Back with more of The Upswing after this. It's time to fast forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on The Upswing. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Martin Moore.
Welcome back to The Upswing. It is the future of almost everything in Wisconsin. We can't do everything. We're going to do almost everything. Always, though, joining us is the one and only Martin Moore. Martin, how are you today?
I'm not too bad. It's a little moody outside.
Yeah.
Rainy.
Yeah.
Cold.
That's all right. That's all right.
But I'm doing okay. My kitchen is going to get cabinets on Monday, so there's...
Oh, that's exciting. That's something to look forward to. Always sunshine and smiles when the cabinets come, for sure. Probably no AI in those cabinets, though. Maybe they were made with some kind of AI.
There's a potential for that.
Yeah, so I saw this the other day. Amazon Chief Executive Officer Andy Jassy said that generative AI is going to reinvent virtually every customer experience and obviously enable a ton of new ones. A new report from the Pew Research Center says that 56% of AI experts say the technology is going to have a positive impact on the U.S. in the next 20 years. But get this, only 17% of residents think that it will have a positive impact. So there's a little bit of a disconnect there, especially in the job front. I wanted to get your thoughts on job impacts from an AI lens. What are you hearing, especially in your day-to-day world? What are you seeing there?
It's going to be big. I read an article, I think it was like yesterday or 2 days ago, that I cannot remember for the life of me the company name. And maybe you'll recognize this article, but they said that they're not hiring any new employees if the job can be done by AI. I cannot remember the name of the company, but it was a pretty big company. But I think that's something that you're going to start seeing a lot of. I think a lot of companies are going to start using AI for a multitude of things. And it's unfortunately going to take jobs away from people. But on the flip side, like everything, it's going to create new jobs. It's going to create completely new sectors in the workplace that will require new training, new actual human employees to do stuff. And so it's going to be this give and take. It's going to be one of those, you know, two steps forward, one step kind of backwards things. I think the biggest thing that I worry with AI in the workplace is people losing competence in their job and using AI as a crutch.
Yeah.
Sort of like how we use a calculator.
Right.
Now, I don't, maybe that's a boomer in me. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Calculators have obviously and unobjectively made things better in planet Earth.
Right.
And AI might do the same thing, but I just worry that a lot of people are going to lean on it for copywriting and for content creation and for all kinds of things.
Right.
And so I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, because it does bring that kind of that unemotional approach in creating process and creating and replicating maybe some skills that you take the emotion out of it, it might become more efficient.
Absolutely. And you know, it's only going to get smarter. This is the dumbest that AI currently is, and it's pretty darn good right now.
Yeah.
But it does. It takes that sort of human emotion out of it. It takes a lot of nuance out of whatever it is that you're trying to sell or market or create or hire or fire or whatever it is. And I'm just going to be very curious how that plays out over the next 5 or 10 years. I don't think we're going to be able to really know what the implications of AI are in the workplace holistically until we're 5 or 10 years out and we can sort of zoom out, look back and go, oh, that was a great idea or not so much.
The top five jobs at the Pew Research Center said may be impacted. Number one, cashiers. I mean, that's already kind of happened.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Self-checkout.
Truck drivers, self-driving cars, journalists, content creators, right?
That's a big one.
Oh, no.
Copyright.
Factory workers, and then software engineers. And I think that's all been happening for a while anyway. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how we continue to move forward no matter what. You got to have that human element, and that's what AI can never replace. All right, let's talk about the future of the lottery. I saw this week Mega Millions is getting a makeover, including more than doubling the price of a ticket. So it's a multi-state lottery game, also here in Wisconsin, of course. So bigger ticket price going from $2 to
$5.
$5 for a lottery ticket. And they're saying the price is going to spark a bit of a new and improved game, so bigger payouts and more opportunity. What's the Martin Moore approach to the lottery? You play or you just like leave
tickets.
Me alone?
I can tell you that much, especially if people are hurting to buy eggs. I have a love-hate with the lottery. I think it's just like any sort of entertainment, like going to a movie. Or going to a Broadway show, or going to the opera, or the symphony, or a Bucks or Brewers game. You know, it's something that if you casually participate in it, there's no harm, no foul. And it's fun. And hey, maybe you can win something. My biggest beef with the lottery is its addictiveness and how it can ruin people's lives. And I get they have disclaimers. Here's the 1-800 number, get help.
Right.
How many people, you know, take advantage of that? And, you know, with things like FanDuel Sports and just how easy it is to just gamble online, I struggle with it. It's a great source of revenue. And if that money goes towards things like schools and healthcare and all that kind of stuff and poverty, sure. But it does do some damage. And they're always trying to find ways to get people hooked and keep them hooked. And that's typically the most vulnerable people who are addicted.
Mega Millions jackpot also increases the odds. They go from 1 in 302.6 million to 1 290.5 million. So the odds
are telling me there's
deeper.
A chance.
There's a chance. There's always a chance. A friendly reminder, if you're playing the lottery, my thing is, Martin, if I see somebody buy a lottery ticket before me and I'm in line, I buy one because I know it contributes to the greater good and a little property tax reduction. You got to apply for that credit when you're doing your taxes. So make sure you do so. When we come back, a little bit more with Martin Moore. I got a question. What's he buying in the tech world? This is the Upswing. We're thankful for our partnership with Horicon Bank. They're doing banking differently, always there to serve you and your business. You're listening to WTMJ.
The Upswing will be right back on WTMJ. Back to business. Here's more of the Upswing on WTMJ.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Martin Moore, proudly presented by Horicon Bank. Martin, always appreciate your time. So I wanted to look at every show in terms of tech stuff that we need now. Seems like the prices aren't going to get any cheaper. So what are you buying right now to save a little expense in the future?
Oh, to save a little expense.
Yeah.
What
aren't you buying now?
I mean, I don't really buy things. I'm not a particularly materialistic person.
All right.
Everything I buy, like, I research the heck out of, and it has intention. The only really big purchase that was meaningful that I was going to buy was the Nintendo Switch 2, which that's, like, on indefinite hold right now. But other than just everyday products, there really isn't anything. I wasn't going to buy a car or a new phone or anything. But for people that are, get it now.
Yeah.
Buy it now.
Yeah, I mean,
things are going to go up.
Yeah, I mean, I think even with the 90-day pause, if you will, on the trade war and tariffs, like, the increase in prices is coming no matter where the product is manufactured. And I think that's a sense with a consumer that, whoa, I got to buy now. There's no reason to panic.
Sure.
But there's some price increases coming, I think.
One thing that I foresee happening is, because these tariffs will be temporary. I don't know if they'll ever come back or if they'll just be throughout this administration and then the next administration will get rid of them. But one thing I'm certain of, and if there was a line in Vegas, I'd bet 10 to 1 on it, is that all these companies are going to raise their prices on stuff. And then when the tariffs are gone, they'll come down, but they'll still be higher than what you were paying before the tariffs and all of this. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity for brands and companies to artificially raise their prices and be able to justify it.
Yeah.
And enough time will have gone by, 2-3 years, that the consumer will be none the wiser. And once the price comes back down, they'll be like, oh, yay, iPhones aren't $1,600. They're only $1,200. Even though they were $200 more than they were, you know, a couple of years ago. That's what I foresee.
Yeah.
That's going to be the biggest financial hit, I think, people aren't prepared for.
So even though I just said don't panic buy, you know what? I'm going to buy something from Apple right now because we need another Apple TV for our upstairs TV.
I would do it right now.
$129. The prices are still fairly affordable there. So you buy the Apple TV Plus subscription, another $9.99 a month. That hasn't gone up, but I'm guessing the device itself, that's probably going to kick up another $20.
It's going to go up, and it's going to be not affordable.
All right. I want to look at a bunch of things for this coming weekend. Right now, we're here on Saturday. A lot of things in Milwaukee happening. First, Martin, Milwaukee Wine Weekend. Mm. Not to be confused with all these traveling wine festivals, but Milwaukee Wine Weekend, it's rooted locally. Unique lineup. Big event on Saturday at Loopy and Iris. Are you a wine drinker?
Oh, my God, yes. There's some good local winers. What kind of wine? Red, white?
The great thing about the event at Loopy and Iris on Saturday is the Black Wine Expo. So it's 40 wines from black producers and winemakers from across the country. So it's a tasting menu that's specific to the event and a really cool curated local event at Loopy and Iris on Saturday. Summerfest Job Fair on Saturday from 1 to 5. Have you ever worked at a festival?
No.
No?
That sounds
you
like
never did any? Even as a teenager?
I hate being around people. There's no scenario where I'm going to go serve them. Absolutely not.
All right. Well, Summerfest does need 2,000 seasonal workers. So a big job fair from 1 to 5 at Summerfest Operations Building. It's 114 North Jackson Street. Summerfest right around the corner. Big job fair on Saturday. Just bring a valid ID. You can apply. You can sit down. You do the interview. Boom. Hired for the summer season. Record day. Record store day is Saturday all across the country. Ooh. You a vinyl buyer?
No, but I want to get into vinyl. I want a record player so bad. That's on the list. Maybe that's one of the things I'll buy before all the tariffs go nuts. But I want one so bad.
Put it on the list. Saturday is record store day. And then Sunday, the big makers market at Discovery World, Milwaukee Makers Markets, the seasonal art craft maker market held in various spaces, including the Ivy House, and coming this Sunday to Discovery World. A bunch of different vendors, crafters, makers of all sorts. No admission, which is the cool thing, so you can get in Discovery World, kind of see what it's all about. From 10 to 4, it's operated by Ryan Leasing, who also runs the East Side Business Improvement District. A really creative guy, really cool curations. If you're walking through one of these makers' fairs and markets, what are you looking for, Martin?
What do they sell?
Well, from fashion, from handmade, maybe some zines.
I'm not a shopper.
No.
I need a new bracelet.
Okay,
maybe
bracelets,
that.
All right.
I'm
very
always
good.
Looking for the perfect bracelet. Other than that, again, I'm not a materialistic person. So there's, I don't buy a lot. Like, I really don't buy a lot of things. You may not think okay. it, but I don't know. I like to look. I'm a window shopper.
All right, I like that approach. And that's the big part of what these makers markets about. It's getting to meet the entrepreneurs, it's getting to meet the small business owners, and just having those discussions.
Absolutely.
Saying, hey, how can I help amplify what you're doing? Because it's about the greater good, and it's about buying and selling and making our community a bigger, better place. Always happy to be joined by Martin Moore from COS. Martin, enjoy the rest of the weekend. See you again next time.
Yes.
As always, you'll be able to get this episode and all past episodes of The Upswing. All you have to do is text UPSWING to 855-616-1620.